When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hang on, I'm coming. My headset broke again. I've been back 2 days. Everything's falling apart. I don't even know what's wrong. What in the world? There it is. Okay, I think we're good. Welcome back. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It's the Fan Ops Day. Hello, friends. Wonderful to be with you here on the show. Let's jump right in, shall we? Couple of things I would like to tell you about. First and foremost, at least to me, our new Odyssey Voice Notes app is available. Feature is what I'm going to go with. Our new Odyssey Voice Notes feature.
Yeah, because it's not a separate app. It's a feature on the app.
Correct. Within the Odyssey app, if you get it, put it on your cell phone, your tablet, your digital devices.
He means when you get it.
When you get it. You should get it, by the way. Grab the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, put it on your electronic devices. When you do, search the Fan Upstate, click the old heart button, the follow button, the like button, whatever the button is, click that button. When you do, the Fan Upstate will take you to the Fan Upstate page. Once you get there, there's going to be two buttons. One of those buttons is a big orange button, and it says, listen live. Click that button anytime, day or night, rain or shine, and you can listen to the Fan Upstate live in real time. Doesn't matter what you want to listen to. The Rob Brown Show from 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday, Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson, every afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m., BetMGM Tonight with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath from 7 to 11 p.m., whatever, whenever, it's live. The other button is a little microphone button. That little microphone button, if you click that little microphone button, you can record a 60-second voice note. That 60-second voice note will come directly to yours truly on the laptop that I do the show on every single day. And when you click that button and you leave that 60-second voice note, it comes right to me. And when it comes right to me, we can interact. I can play it on the air. I can listen and respond, whatever the case is. So if you've wanted to talk to me and Lonzo, but you don't actually want to talk to me and Lonzo, you want to talk at me and Lonzo, this is your chance. If you've ever listened to the show and you said, ah, these two idiots, I wish I could give them a piece of my mind, but you don't want to actually call and give a piece of your mind, here's your in. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click that little microphone button, drop a 60-second note. You can do it 24/7. 365. You want to send it while we're on the air? Do it. You want to send it at lunchtime when you're on your break? Do it. You want to send it at 2:45 in the morning after your Unc Shannon sharped out of your mind? Do it. That's why it's there. Go ahead, use it to whatever way you want to use it to, in whatever fashion you want to use it to. Hey, speaking of Unc Shannon Sharp and his performance on Instagram Live a couple of weeks ago. You guys remember that, right?
See, that would imply that it's fake. I mean, you know, performance. I mean, you know.
Well, it's ever so funny that you bring that up. Because yesterday on the Unc Shannon Sharp podcast, which he hosts with Ocho Cinco, they had a special guest. That special guest, great one, was the head coach of the University of Colorado Buffalo / Colorado University Buffalo's one primetime neon Deion Sanders.
Coach Prime.
Deion Sanders, who is, and this is true, not your or my coach.
Coach Prime.
Deion Sanders was talking with Unc Shannon about his Instagram Live performance. And Deion says he feels pretty comfortable that it was not fake. It's fair. It's a fair train of thought. You know,
so you're not going to talk about why it was speculated that it was staged.
So there's a lot of theories. One of them I heard was that it was a way for Shannon to get himself fired so he could go somewhere else for more money. That was the theory that was getting thrown around. I will also acknowledge this happened like right before I left, and so I was not clued in. Is there a new theory as to why he would have staged that?
Preferences.
Oh.
Just to prove what his preference is.
Oh, people were calling him gay? And he's like, I'm not gay?
Yes.
And here's me getting on the boom chicka bow wow with the lady friend?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, again, don't care if you are.
I'm just saying what I read.
I just love that Dion hit him with, what's my name? I'm coming out the smoke like I did in Atlanta.
I love the Shownuff reference, but
you
didn't get the Shownuff reference.
So. That's just spectacular work from Dion. Well done. Well done.
It's from The Last Dragon. But anyway.
Shownuff is also just a thing people say. Shownuff?
Oh, no. It was such a big deal from that movie that it became a part of pop culture.
I don't know what movie this is.
I just said The Last Dragon.
No, I know. I don't remember that movie. And this might be a me thing. The Last Dragon.
Who's the baddest mofo low down around town? Shownuff.
Oh, it's a
kung fu movie.
A blaxploitation kung fu movie.
It's
from 1985.
Yes.
An American martial arts comedy film written by Louis Venosta, produced by Rupert Hitzig for Barry Gordy and directed by Michael Schultz. The film stars Tamik Vanity, Julius Carey, Chris Murney, Keisha Knight Pulliam, and Faith Prince. Yeah, I don't think I have to go watch it. Shownuff. I got to watch that movie.
Listen, I believe that you would love this movie.
I'm sure I would.
I actually am pretty sure that I may have it in the office.
I may have to go on the DVD player at the house.
Yeah. That thing that doesn't work, but, you know, right now.
Oh, man, incredible. All right, now I got to go. Now I got to watch that movie. Texas said, Rob, if the students become contract employees, wouldn't that push towards or take us into super conferences? Because SEC schools ain't paying what ACC schools, Big 12 or Big 10 schools are paying. And Spartanburg J, you are correct, but hold your horses, because right,
I'm offended by that. So you're saying the Big Ten conference is lesser than the SEC when it would there are just as many big businesses in that area as there are down here.
I mean, yes, I definitely am saying that, but like you don't have to get up in your feels about it.
All right, well you're wrong. So I mean, I believe that
it's literally true right now. The SEC pays their schools more right now.
No, we were
it's
talking,
happening today.
The SEC pays their schools.
Yes.
We're talking about paying players. We're not talking about schools.
Yes.
We're talking about players. So the schools are paying players?
You have Ohio State and Michigan. The schools have NIL contracts
and
Oregon, with players, yes.
And you'd have
Phil Knight. Phil Knight will help a little bit.
You know, there's.
But forget all that. I want to go back to what Spartanburg J said.
Fast food capital of the world is Columbus. I mean, and that's money.
Spartanburg J, I have bad news for you. That's already happening. That's already a thing. Heather Dinich, of whom I am a big fan. What up, Heather? How you doing, girl? Good to have you. Good to have you back, Heather. Missed you. Heather Dinich put a report on ESPN. I'm going to read directly from a Yahoo Sports article that says the following. In a report by ESPN's Heather Dinich, it seems like the two conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, will make a run at each of them getting four automatic bids to the college football playoff when they restructure its new contract in 2026. She goes on to say that there will be in-person discussions between the two conferences in Nashville, Tennessee next week about the potential change. It's hard to imagine that CFP committee would agree to this, as most likely the majority of non-automatic bids will go out to members of those conferences anyways. When you look at the USLBM coaches poll following week 5, there are 11 schools between the two of them that are ranked inside the top 12. The Miami Hurricanes are the only team not in either of those two conferences currently in the CFP range. Watering down the potential for other teams to make the playoff just doesn't make sense. The committee will pick the best teams available this year and next and shouldn't be forced to adhere to these two conferences' demands. As for the Irish, they're already at a disadvantage by not being able to get a first-round bye, and if this were to pass, it would make it harder for them to be involved at all, as just four at-large bids would be available. My dudes, as I have been trying, because I am a good, gracious host, as I have been trying to prepare you for years, the inevitable conclusion of unchecked capitalism is monopoly. That's just at its core. The unchecked result of unchecked capitalism is monopoly. That's just how it is. And so when you get into a spot, if the two top entities of any field decide that they are going to work hand in hand, arm in arm with each other, everybody else is 100% and entirely duh. Not maybe. That's definitively. And so you're in a spot where the SEC and the Big Ten have decided that they are going to come together and they are going to say, "Ayo, of those 12 spots, we get 8 of them. Why? 'Cause we said so." Now, I'm not a parent, okay? Don't intend to be. Not a parent. However, I do know with dealing with Sheeran, I do know that the phrase, "because I said so," is immensely powerful. Lonzo, can you confirm or deny that the phrase, "because I said so," is quite useful when you're a parent?
Very much so. Also, bosses use that. I don't know if you knew that.
I do. "Because I said so." Now, I will tell you that as somebody who probably to my, detriment, was also taught, trust but verify. Just because a person is in authority does not mean that they should be the authority. Ask questions. But sometimes you're going to ask questions and you're going to be told, "because I said so." And my natural default feeling on that is always, if somebody says, "because I said so," the reasoning is, I don't have a good reason. That's just what I want.
That's not always the case, but probably 90%. Sometimes it's a lesson that needs to be learned. That you cannot put into words.
Sure.
That you'll understand when you become a parent. Sure. or something else.
Sometimes you may not have the time to explain the rationale. I need this thing done now. Why? Because I said so. You may not have time to say, "well, because if you do this, then Joe over there can do X, and then Billy can do this, and once all those things are done, we all benefit from it." But we don't have time. By the time I'm done explaining, the moment will have passed. We gotta do this now. Whatever. 90% of the time, if somebody says, "because I said so," they don't have a good reason. It's just what they want. And so with the SEC and the Big Ten, when they go, "we want 8 of the 12 slots in the 12-team playoff," why? Because I said so. It's just what they want. Why? It's best for them. It's best for them. The more teams you have in more playoff spots, the more money you get. And the problem is, because they already have all the power, I don't know what, if anything, can be done to stop it. The reality is, these two conferences are going to work hand in hand, arm in arm, together forever, friends forever. Zach Attack. There's a reference I haven't made in a while.
What is this? Some sort of Nickelodeon show?
Oh,
okay.
Saved by the Bell.
All right,
Zach Attack. They are going to work hand in hand, arm in arm, friends forever. Why? Because it allows them to bully everybody else out. And then they can basically, once it's all done, pick up everybody else that they want. And then everybody else can, off is basically how it works. So to respond to you, Spartan Bird Jay, and I appreciate the text, 71307, start your text with FAN, F-A-N. In my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, the response to this is, The players being allowed to become employees and to unionize is not the reason that you are going to end up with super conferences. The reason you are going to end up with super conferences is because you already have them, and now they are realizing that, hey, if we're buddy-buddy with each other, we can have whatever we want. Because here's the quick question. Who's going to stop them? The NCAA has already rolled over every single time that there has been what could even maybe become a head-butting contest between themselves and the two big conferences. They've already laid down many times to those two conferences. So if they've laid down many times these two, do you think all of a sudden they're going to go, yeah, we're not going to give you 8 of the 12 playoff spots? No, they're going to go, we're going to give you a, you know what this is? You ever had a buddy in your circle, in your friend group? You ever had a buddy that was very clearly batting out of his league, outkicked his coverage, was dating somebody that they had no business dating? Yeah. You ever seen that? You ever seen your just average Joe buddy, and he goes, "This is my girlfriend, and she's a smoke show, a 9.5 out of 10, yada yada yada." For the record, been there, done that. And what happens is these people end up qualifying for another term that the Utes use, simp. They become a simp. They basically get to the point that we would have called you a pushover back in our day, amongst other names that I can't say on the radio. Nowadays, we call them simps. These are people who bend over backwards, who lay down to act in their own detriment in order to stay in the positive views of whatever the entity in question is. They're dating the bikini model, and all of a sudden, they are doing things they would have never done before, saying things they would have never said before, buying things they would have never bought before, and they are doing all of these things just so that the 9.5 out of 10 comes home to them, not somebody who they perceive is better than them. The NCAA has to now simp for these two mega conferences. And they have to simp for the mega conferences because the moment that they don't, and these two mega conferences go bloop and throw the old double bird thumbs in at the NCAA, they don't exist anymore. Okay? If tomorrow the ACC folds, the NCAA is still there. If the Big 12 folds, the NCAA is still there. If the Pac-2 folds or the Mountain West folds or any of these other conferences fold, the NCAA is still there. If the Big Ten and the SEC walk away, they're not, and they know it. So, Joe, to answer your question, this is going to be another opportunity for people who, for whatever reason, love to restrict the freedoms and the rights of college football players, who want to make them the bad guy in a situation where the suits at top once again prove they care about the dollar bill, y'all, and not a damn thing else. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. No, I'm not getting my hopes up about the Atlanta Braves. I'm cool. Like, I'm happy. I'm happy they made it to the playoffs. Like, cool. But also, you're getting swept. All right? You just are. You have to play today after you played the last 2 days. Actually, last 3 days, because you played Saturday. You played Sunday. You played a doubleheader yesterday, and unfortunately, because the Bravos could not finish off a game one in which they took a one-run lead into the top of the ninth, but allowed the Mets to score a pair in the top of the ninth and could not answer in the bottom of the ninth.
I know I'm not a baseball guy, but you're acting like it's a big deal that they're playing day after day after day. Isn't that what baseball does?
Pitchers. Pitchers into the postseason. This is different than like a 8-game stretch in July. This is you have taxed arms. going up against a father's team that has been very good. In fact, one of the better teams coming into the last couple of weeks and into the postseason. And now you're doing it with effectively your entire bullpen that has thrown multiple innings yesterday. Whereas the fathers have a full bullpen that's happy, healthy, rested. They got smiley faces over their heads if you're playing The Sims. They're all good. So you're up against one of the hotter teams. And again, playoff baseball is all about momentum, right? I go back to last year. Last year, the Arizona Diamondbacks came into these playoffs with more momentum than anybody else in that spot. And then they went to the World Series because of it. The Padres have the momentum right now. They were one of the better teams down the stretch. They've got great pitching. They're hitting the ball well. Things are favorable right now for this baseball team. And on top of all of that, the Bravos found out yesterday that Chris Sale, the best pitcher in the National League, a triple crown winner this year in the National League, had the most wins, the most strikeouts, and the lowest ERA of any pitcher in the National League. He can't pitch in the wild card round. He is done. He had back spasms yesterday. He was expected to start game two. They yanked him out of that game. Now, the conspiracy theory was after the Mets took game one, the Bravos and Mets had a little gentleman's agreement. Because remember, if these two teams split the doubleheader, then they both go to the playoffs. And so the other option would have been that one team sweeps the doubleheader, the other team is eliminated from the playoffs, and the Arizona Diamondbacks would have taken the last spot. So the conspiracy theory, C-O-N-spiracy, that was going around yesterday, the conspiracy theory was that the Braves and the Mets had a handshake gentleman's agreement of, we're both going to play to win game one. Whoever wins game one plays backups in game two, lays it down in game number two so that the other team can also get in, which I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I absolutely would agree to that. Are you kidding me? You're going to guarantee me I'm in the playoffs. Whether I'm in spot number two or spot number three, I don't care. I got to beat somebody good on the road anyway. Yeah, I will shake your hand. We're going to play game one. And
do
if
you,
I
think
win
it happened, though?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But also, the thought is it doesn't really matter because here's the thing. If you win game one, you're in the playoffs. Aren't you resting your guys game two anyway? You're not sending your best out there. You're not asking them to play a second baseball game in a six-hour stretch to then turn around, literally get on a plane that night, and literally fly to the other side of the country for games the next day. If I can not play my starters, if I cannot play my starters and have them as rested as possible, knowing that no matter who you are, the team you play the next day will be on a full day's rest. Yeah, I'm abso-freaking-lutely putting my starters. The New York Mets won game one. They get the easier trip going to Milwaukee. Atlanta's got to go all the way out to the left coast, which means after that game was over, they had to pack it up, get on a plane, fly to the other side of the country, get off the plane, go to the hotel, yada, 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 all to be ready for a baseball game tonight. So to answer your question, the answer is I 100% don't think that happened, but I also think it's kind of unspoken, right? Like, if I'm already in the playoffs and I got to get on a plane and fly to either Milwaukee or San Diego the next day, I'm not playing my guys in game two if I win game one. It's
so
unspoken.
So you're saying the if the opposite would have happened, if Atlanta would have won the first game, they would have set their starters in the second game.
Yes. I think if they would have won game one, you would have seen a pitch. Because remember, Chris Sale was scheduled for game number two, and they pulled him because of back spasms. And there actually is some belief that because Chris Sale didn't get yanked until like an hour before first pitch of game two. There is some belief that effectively the Braves saw the Mets lineup. The Braves saw that the Mets were and would have expected, would have assumed, frankly, that in game two, the Mets were going to roll most of their backups. Now, in fairness, they did play some of their starters. Acuna played, Nimmo played, Alonso played, Marte played. But they didn't have a lot of the guys out there that started game one. So I think what probably happened, and I do think Chris Sale is banged up, all right? If Chris Sale was not in some way banged up, he's pitching tonight when the Braves are on the road at the Padres. They're trotting out the best they got on the docket tonight, and they can't do that now. So because of that, I think that they probably said, let's sit Chris Sale. Let's not even risk him, right? Let's throw out a guy on short term, but a guy that's like a guy that's good enough. And let's go win a 1-0 baseball game because the Mets don't have any reason to try. I do believe that's what happened. Now, with that being said, the Braves go out. It is game one tonight. It is on the road. It is at the San Diego Padres. They are up tonight against Michael King. Michael King has been phenomenal this year. 13-9, a 2.95 ERA, 201 strikeouts, and a top 30 whip overall across Major League Baseball. He's been exceptional for the Fathers this year. You know who the Braves are trotting out to start tonight? No, you don't. Nobody does. I don't either. It's undecided. Because they have got to effectively look at everything that happened the last 4 days with the games against the Royals and then a two-gamer against the Mets in one day yesterday. And they gotta figure it out. They gotta get out to California and they gotta go through the whole damn thing and figure out who do we go with today? Who gives us not the best shot? Who just gives us a shot at all? Who just gives us any shot at all? And there are obviously dudes that give you a shot. You know, you've got guys like Max Fried. Has Max Fried gotten enough rest since his last start? I don't know is the answer. Charlie Morton went a day and a half ago. He can't go. Spencer Schwellenbach went yesterday. He can't go. You're gonna roll, I think, Renato Lopez out there on the bump tonight. But then you're back to the top of the rotation. You're throwing Fried on 3 days rest. And then if you win one of those two games, I hope you win both. But if you win one of those two games, then likely you got to go with Charlie Morton in game three also on short rest. Remember, wild card round is a best of three. You got to win one of the two to give yourself a chance in a game three, but I'm the Braves had what, 6 hits in the win yesterday? Like, just even if he only surrenders one or two runs to the Padres, which would be a freaking achievement against this team, even if he only surrenders one or two, at the end of the day, the Braves aren't hitting the baseball. Like, I would have rather played the Brewers, just so we're clear. I would have won game one and taken on the Brewers in Milwaukee. It's a less intimidating place to play, with all due respect to the Brew crew. And I just don't think their team is as good. Certainly, they don't have the front end starting that the Padres have. I would have rather played Milwaukee. But I'm not saying that this series isn't winnable for Atlanta. I'm saying they're going to have to go back to that heater that they were on 2 months ago, the month after the, remember the All-Star break, coming off the All-Star break when the Phillies stank and the Braves could have taken that division lead, but they also stank. But then remember how the Phillies got good, but so did the Braves, and they were lockstep with each other for a minute. Remember how much of a heater that team was on at that point? They're going to have to do that on the road against San Diego just to have a chance. And oh, by the way, if they do and they win that thing, guess who they got up next? The damn Dodgers. On the road. Like, I'm just not excited about the playoffs. The Braves aren't carrying momentum into the playoffs and the pitching's good, but it's taxed. I got no optimism about the Braves in the playoffs this year. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, with you. 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to sneak in here at the end of the show. You are welcome to do it. We'd love to have you. You can text us 71307 on the text line, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can also shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word. Shoot all of us one at the Fan Upstate. And don't forget, our voice notes function is officially active. Now, you guys have sent me a few. I appreciate them. Please know, as much as I love you and trust you, I will be screening every one of these with great care and concern before any of them get played on the air. All right. So keep them coming. The Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate, click on the little microphone button. You can drop a 60 second voice memo that will come straight to me that we can play on the air. I can respond to or whatever. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate, click on the microphone button, drop that 60 second voice app. And I want that to be a part of the show. It's effectively a way for you guys to leave me a voicemail, and I'm all in for it, all right? So make sure you do that as well. A couple of things I wanted to get in before we wrap up the broadcast day today. Did you see the comments of Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons? Kyle Pitts has been a good football player, but I do to some degree think we'd all be lying a little bit if we didn't say the career of Kyle Pitts has been slightly disappointing. Yeah. I mean, I think we all expected a lot out of Kyle Pitts, and we just haven't gotten it. Zero catches in a win against the New Orleans Saints this weekend.
What college did he go to?
Kyle Pitts was a Florida Gator.
Oh, okay. So he's used to disappointment.
Got him. Kyle Pitts, in this season so far, has 105 yards on 8 snags, 1 touchdown, 15 targets so far. Kyle Pitts is not developed. Raheem Morris was asked about it, and he responded as such. You know, it's just about going out there and winning the game. When you're out there, you're playing. He had a couple of targets today. He had a couple things going up that way. We had a questionable call at the end of the stretch. Again, to Kyle, those things are always unfortunate. When a reporter brought up the fact that Kyle Pitts' statistics this year aren't very good, Raheem Morris said, quote, "Really, for me, stats are for losers." I've gotten that a lot. Here's the fun thing. You know who doesn't feel that way? People who run things and make money.
According to your math, Kyle Pitts is not very good.
Correct. It's not that he's very good. It's just that he's not anywhere close to what we've expected and what we've seen out of him. We've seen the capability and the ability, but it feels like he's just been left behind at
this
point.
Is the team happy with his performance? Are the team talking about
how they're never going to tell you no.
I mean, right? In the end, that's his employer. I mean, everyone can know, oh, I expected, yeah, but you're not paying him. So if you were paying him, what would you do, Rob Brown? If you were his boss, what would you do?
I would, number one, be finding a lot more ways to get the man the football. Like, they just, I think he had 3 targets in this game, and basically the only time right now that it feels like they throw Kyle Pitts the football is when everybody else is double coveraged, and so's he. It just feels like he's basically their emergency valve and nothing else. And if you are using
the old school way of using that position.
No. I mean, yes, but also no. Like Antonio Gates was not an emergency last option. He's a dude that you went, oh, he's real good. We should give him the football. He's real good. We should give him
a full. Until that era with Antonio Gates and Shannon Sharp and Tony Gonzalez, before that, the tight end was basically a blocker, and every once in a while he'd catch the ball and people would be surprised.
Yes, you know what year it is, though? 2024. It's not that. This offense would be fine if it was 1973, but it's not. It turns out, and I checked the calendar to make sure I'm right about this, I am. It's 2024. Are you sure tight ends are a big deal now.
Are you sure the offense is not a 1973 offense?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not playing this again before we leave. RIP to one of my favorite basketball players of all time, Dikembe Mutombo. Dikembe Mutombo, not just a great player, great dude, great overall dude. A couple of years ago, Dikembe Mutombo was on HQ with Dan Le Batard and Bomani Jones. And they asked him about I'll just let Le Batard set it up for you. Oh, no, that's highly questionable. That's not even the clip that I wanted to play. I want the one with Mutombo actually telling the story. I can't believe that I blew that. Let me find that one. I put it somewhere in the coffers here. But it's basically they asked him if that story was true. I can't believe I lost this.
You
damn
are the
clip.
King of the setup today.
I really am. I'm killing.
You
it
haven't
over here.
Nailed one yet.
I'm absolutely killing.
Hey, but
it over
I
here.
Will say. On this day, you were very consistent.
I missed them all. This is true. I missed all the layups. All right, don't worry. I'm gonna find this because this story
bunny,
is that
Rob.
Good.
Hit the bunny, Rob. Come on, you got this,
dude. I am just missing layups over here, dude. One after the next, just missing layups. Where in the hell, Mutombo? This is pathetic. Nope, that's the I had. I do have the no, not today commercial that's ready at any given point. And I also need to fix the sound for that.
Well, because you know some are louder than others, and the last one needed to be.
Yeah, that
loud,
was so that was that was.
I apologize for the instant headache. I gave myself one too.
And now I can't find the dadgum clip. Long story short, there was a story that went around for a very long time that Dikembe Mutombo would walk into nightclubs full of lookers and would simply yell to the crowd, "Who wants to sex Mutombo?"
I would have a question and ask him what his standard was. Do they have to be 8 or above? Or was it just anybody? Because that makes it sound like it's anybody.
If your standards are high and you've got the rocks to walk into a bar and yell, "Who wants to sex me?" but you use your last name and speak about it in third person, you've got the rocks to walk up to the people in the club that meet your preferred specifications in that moment. If you walk into the club and yell, "Who wants to sex me?" you're probably willing to let's see what the options are on the table, right? Like, let's see what's available.
I'm just wondering if, you know, if it were a true story and some were to walk up that he goes, "No, no, 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 no," to the ones that he does not like.
I get the feeling if this is true. Dikembe Mutombo vehemently denied that this
story
was correct.
Joe's got me here. He says, "So this is Miami nightclub where the Heat players go. They filtered the women
that's
out
also
at
true.
The door." Okay,
that's
all right.
Also true. I can go
big,
ahead.
Big Ox at the door is going, no,
yeah,
not you.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go through.
You may not sex Mutombo. You may sex Mutombo. You brought the heat tonight, young lady. You may sex Mutombo. I wish that at any point in my life I would have had the rocks to be the dude that walks in the club and goes, "Who wants to sex Rob Brown?" And more importantly, that it ever would have worked. That it ever would have worked. Yeah, I wish I had that in me. I'm going to get in trouble for this, and I want you to know I'm doing it for the show. This is content, all right? I'm a content creator. When the wife gets home tonight and she opens the door and walks in, I am going to yell at her from wherever I am in our Casa de Love. I am going to yell at my wife when she comes home on day number 11 of being married, "Who wants to sex Rob Brown?" And I fully assume she is going to look me square in the face and say.
So
we'll see.
So you're expecting disappointment, but you're willing to go for it anyway.
No, I don't think you understand the satisfaction of that moment is not going to be the satisfaction of that moment. The satisfaction of that moment is going to be saying that.
You got enough guts to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And don't get me wrong, I promise you right now, like that, when I hear the car pull in the driveway and I hear that door close and I hear the key go in the lock, I am going to stand at the end of it because the house is built long, so it's a long hallway. It's all the way from one end to the other. I'm going to stand on the other side of the hallway. I have not decided what I'm going to wear when I do this. I may go.
We're getting suggestions on the stream for that.
So, I may go full on. I may just go cowboy hat and underoos. I may go cowboy hat, but just hold it strategically. And when she opens the door, I am going to yell, "Who wants to sex Rob Brown?" And even if she says no, and she will say no, but even if she says no, don't worry. Victory will be had in that moment. Victory will be had right then for me.
Hey, you hesitated.
All right. It worked out.
All right, time. You missed another one.
Somebody leave me a voice note on the Odyssey app screaming, "Who wants to sex?" and then say your name.
Yeah, not his name, your name.
No, your name.
All right, the first thing that's Xing is Luchasaurus.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I haven't watched wrestling in probably 2 weeks from last Friday. I have no idea what's happening in anything.
He is presently in the hospital with pneumonia.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah.
That's real bad.
Yeah.
R.I.P. No, not R.I.P. That's very different.
No, don't do that. Dude, what are you doing?
I got Pete Rose and Dikembe Mutombo on the brain. Get well soon, Luchasaurus. I don't need you joining the rest of your brethren from 65 million years ago.
I'm curious if they have a hospital bed long enough for that dude, because he's a pretty
He's in
a large
the back
individual.
Of a Prius. He's fine.
Yeah, but he was awful scrunched up when he did
that.
And when you have pneumonia, you don't want to be scrunched up because you're already having trouble breathing. The next thing that's Xing is Cartoon Network.
Joe and Shane said I should try the Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown, but with the Red Hot Chili Pepper sock.
Yeah,
look
I saw
going.
That. I was hoping you wouldn't.
I'm not mad about
there.
That.
Cartoon Network is Xing.
I really got nothing.
32 years ago today, Cartoon Network came out.
I was 6 years old. I was right there in the prime, right there in the swing of things. And the number of shows that came through Cartoon Network when I was growing up, Courage the Cowardly Dog, Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Laboratory, Powerpuff Girls, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Cow and Chicken. What a cartoon. Like there were... there were some great ones, man. There were some great ones.
He's not choked up. He was just, he sounded choked
up. I'm a little choked up.
That was pretty good. All right, the next thing.
I'm choked up because I'm realizing how freaking old I'm getting and how quickly I'm getting there.
You're getting pretty old. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Joker Fala Adu.
What?
That's the name, Joker. Fala Adu.
No, I just wanted you to say it again.
Yeah, I'm going to be consistent
the
with
enthusiasm.
It.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Fala Adu.
So the anticipation for this movie seems very split. I actually really do want to see it. I think Lady Gaga has proven herself to be a phenomenal actress. I actually really like
Joaquin
the first
Phoenix is weird, though. I mean, here's the thing. Chances are I still don't have power. So whether I want to go see this movie or
might
not,
as well.
I'm going to go see this movie.
Got nothing else to do.
I mean, you
know.
Does
it come out this week?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I'll tell you, I really like the first one. But again, you have to approach it.
I like the last 15 minutes of the first
one. I love the whole movie. This isn't the Joker. At least not the Joker we all grew up with. All right? It's an entirely different character spin universe, whatever. And I really like it. But I will also acknowledge, you knew I had this whole discussion when it came out. This movie is not a comic book movie. This is a movie with societal commentary. This is a movie with opinions on the real world that we all live in and utilizes the Joker to make points about the way that we look at and treat and discuss and sometimes ignore legitimate mental illnesses amongst people in public and how and why we need to do a better job addressing them. I want to see it from the standpoint of a person who likes high art, not because I expect it to be a great comic book movie.
All right, I just got to say, from a Batman standpoint,
it's not a Batman movie.
No, the show you need to watch, which is also not a Batman movie, is The Penguin. I've only seen episode one. It is amazing. Episode two just came out, but no power. So, okay, can't watch episode two yet.
The plan 100% was to watch that during honeymoon recovery mode, and I had neither honeymoon nor honeymoon recovery mode.
If you are to watch anything non-sports-wise in the next week, you've got to watch the first. You've got to.
I want to.
I know. It is.
I'm unable to.
It is amazing. It really is.
The fiber cord that brings internet into my house is laying in my front yard right now. And so far, I've not figured out how to plug it into my brain to be able to do that. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. One last question before I go. Who wants to sex Rob Brown?
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.